Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, I want to do a follow-up on the live stream that I did last Thursday, where we talked about Ordo Amoris and J.D. Vance and the controversy that surrounds it. And I wanted to talk about why evangelicals have a hard time grasping this concept, because 82% of evangelicals voted for Donald Trump, if they voted at all. And I think J.D. Vance is making Ordo Amoris cool again for evangelicals, and wanted to talk about one major reason why it needed to be cool again, and that it was not so self-evident for the last decade or so. And I believe that comes down to a man named David Platt, and if I wanted to be really spicy, I'd throw in John Piper as well, as someone who's also responsible for inverting love. And in Platt's case, and I think Piper also falls into this criticism as well at times, preaching a poverty gospel. Now, John Piper had his famous seashell sermon, and David Platt wrote Radical. And we're going to dive into some quotes from Radical that are, in general, a summation of what David Platt teaches and believes, and it's pretty extreme, and it is a poverty gospel, and it does invert our love. In many cases, if you follow Radical, you will do things that end up to the hatred of your children and your children's children. It's just not a good book, but he frames it as, if you don't give away X, you do not care about the gospel. So let's dive into this. But first, I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. A lot of the work in today's video will come from my past work on David Platt, specifically the article that I wrote on David Platt being a false teacher. So we're going to dive into some of my thoughts from that article as it pertains to David Platt's teachings in Radical, which is not the only reason why I think David Platt's a false teacher. And you can sign up and support us at our patron-like system. Also, check out my book, Winning That Winsome, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare, where I do talk about building Christian institutions in the last chapter. But until then, let's talk about Radical. So here's my summary of what Radical is, other than just a book. It's one of the most influential books in evangelicalism of this century. The book has all the worst qualities of the young, restless, and reformed movement paired with the complaints of Gen X. You know, if you ever see things like the movie Fight Club and a lot of Gen X complaints about materialism and consumerism, this has a lot of the worst ones of those combined with the young, restless, reformed movement. David Platt has, however, he does have valid critiques against consumerism and its influence on the church. He is perhaps rightly disillusioned with the American dream, as many Gen X men are. Again, the movie Fight Club comes to mind, or Office Space. Whilst a pastor in megachurch, he describes his efforts to fundamentally change the culture there. However, David Platt's solutions amount to a legalistic poverty gospel. One of the boldest claims that Platt makes is that all believers are called to international missions. Ironically, this only seems to apply to Americans. And there is no suggestion in this book that believers in jungle churches should come to America for international missions, as the Great Commission is pitted against the American dream, as the subtitle indicates. And again, the subtitle for the book is Taking Your Faith Back from the American Dream. And this, again, does pair well with the discussion of Ordo Amoris. Who is the highest priority to love? Is it your own country? Is it your own church? Is it your own family, even? And for David Platt, these are not the case. If anything, the highest love taught in Radical is the unbeliever in an unreached part of the world. Now, again, a lot of these places that he calls unreached, they're just cultures that are built up against Christianity, like Muslim countries. It's not that those people, they might not know the gospel, but a lot of it's really they have a culture that rejects the gospel. It's a little bit different than, say, jungle population that's never been talked to before. But I do digress a little bit here. Additionally, so Platt assumes that third world churches are carrying the Great Commission superiorly, despite America being the hub for international missions for over a century. So again, at the end of the day, America is largely the hub of international missions, and that's something we should take, I don't want to say take pride because of the sin of pride, but it's something we should take note and have perspective with as Americans, and this is part of our heritage. It's something to live up to, as well as something to celebrate. Additionally, David Platt argues that all believers should set limits on how much income they actually need, and to donate any income above that to missions or to alleviate poverty. So again, he equates poverty to missions because he talks about starvation. He uses the starving child in Africa argument, and here's a quote from page 108 and 109. Platt writes, "Suddenly I began to realize that if I had been commanded to make disciples of all nations, if poverty is rampant in the world to which God has called me, then I cannot ignore these realities. Anyone wanting to proclaim the glory of Christ to the ends of the earth must consider not only how to declare the gospel verbally, but also how to demonstrate the gospel visibly in a world where so many are urgently hungry. If I'm going to address urgent spiritual needs by sharing the gospel of Christ or building up the body of Christ around the world, then I cannot overlook dire physical need in the process." So that's on page 108 and 109. And Platt seems to believe that throwing away middle-class savings so that 26,000 people can have one day's worth of food is good stewardship of resources. And in reality, that's not really helpful in the long term. It's not sustainable in the short term even. But in the end, it doesn't help those people out if you're just giving them food for one day instead of helping them build systems so that they can have more resources and stuff like that. I really appreciate ministries like Equipping the Persecuted, which is a friend of mine, Judd Saul's ministry, because it's more along the ladder of we're not just trying to put a stopgap on a problem. We're trying to help believers build infrastructure to solve more permanent or dire issues. So there is a short-sightedness in David Platt's work. Additionally, I want to read the end of that same chapter, which is page 140. It's a longer chapter in the book, by the way. "These are images that come to mind when I consider what it means to live on less than a dollar a day or two per day. These are facts that I see when I envision 26,000 children dying today of starvation or preventable disease. As I see their faces, I realize that I have a choice. You and I both have a choice. We can stand with the starving or with the overfed. We can identify with poor Lazarus on his way to heaven or with the rich man on his way to hell. We can embrace Jesus while we give away our wealth, or we can walk away from Jesus while we hoard our wealth. Only time will tell what you and I choose to do with this blind spot of American Christianity in our day." So again, with the whole Ordo Amoris, David Platt is clearly someone, again, he has some legitimate frustrations with the American church, with consumerism, but he ultimately hates the culture of American Christianity, which I don't think is worth hating. I think America has some of the best Christianity represented in the world, and I think that's across multiple denominations even. Like, American Catholics, for instance, are way better than Mexican Catholics, just being real. So with that said, American evangelicals are far less liberal than a lot of European counterparts as well, should be noted as...
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. with the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
So with that said, there is a hatred. You know, everyone else is doing it right and we're doing it wrong. We're the ones being greedy and they're the ones that are actually living for the gospel. And this, again, it goes against Ordo Amoris. We're being taught to hate our heritage rather than what our heritage is and how to live up to it. And he was part of the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, which has a proud heritage, not including Lottie Moon, in my opinion, but that's a controversial take for another day. So that notwithstanding, the International Mission Board has a very proud heritage of sending missionaries overseas. My church in particular, we like to support people that are already on the ground. So for instance, if we have a missionary in Algeria, we'll want an Alger missionary. That is how my church does missions, and I think that's a more effective way long-term of doing missions if we help the people that are on the ground already there and help build infrastructure from what's already there. So those are just my thoughts on missions in general. And it definitely contradicts the radical mentality that you must be the one to go there and spend the money, because it's not a sustainable use of resources. And it might not also be the most effective way of doing it. So moreover, David Platt seems to celebrate a wildly irresponsible decision done all in the name of the Great Commission, but might have been vainglorious. On page 176, David Platt celebrates a missionary who went to evangelize cannibals, bringing his pregnant wife along. Months into their journey, she and their newborn died. David Platt hailed them as martyrs, willing to die for their faith, but there is no indication that they were murdered in Platt's writings. It was rather disturbing that Platt celebrated this, because no matter how great a missionary this man was, he was a terrible husband and father. And I don't say that lightly. It's just, I read that and I was kind of disgusted that David Platt was celebrating this, because I don't think that man was a good father or husband. So, again, Ordo Amoris, his own, you know, the order of loves. Why were you caring so much about this person who's a foreigner to you that you've never met, over your own wife, over your own children? I have a problem with that. I think that goes against Christian teachings. You know, Paul talked about the person who does not provide for their own family is worse than an unbeliever, because even they do that. It's understood that even they do that. Jesus talks about, you know, a person, you know, even the unrighteous man does not give his child when he asks a snake, stuff, you know, he talks like that. So that even the unrighteous know how to give a gift. And what David Platt is doing is he has played a large role in influencing the church to not have an ordered love. We are instead being coached to have a radical love. And this influence, I think, has been to the detriment of the church. It is why what J.D. Vance said sounds so profound. Not that it isn't profound, but it is so self-evident, so obvious. Everyone before 1950 knew this. And yet when J.D. Vance says it, it sounds like it's new thinking. And that's why the Jesuits, that's why the liberal Baptist and the, or Anabaptist, I should say. That's why all these liberals came out against what he said, even though it is steeped in rich Christian tradition. So let me finish up what I wrote about David Platt's radical. The Christian tradition has never encouraged believers to recklessly pursue martyrdom, and the Bible shows counterexamples as well. It is negligent of it is to the neglect of family that radicals' most glaring weakness. David Platt has had a career where his ability to do international missions has been subsidized by the giving of those whose incomes are not. Platt values traveling abroad to be with Christians overseas, but this is not sustainable for everybody. It is not a matter of aging poorly, as a book published in 2010 was written during poor economic conditions. This book was short-sighted when written, and advocates elders in the church to throw away their children's inheritances. And by elders, I'm talking about older people in the church, not necessarily officers in the church. Now, in an apparent hypocrisy, David Platt's tenure at the International Mission Board was characterized by reducing the number of missionaries sent. How ironic. But this is David Platt we're talking about. He's a hypocrite. Moreover, David Platt is known for living a far more lavish lifestyle than the average American, including first-class travel, a million-dollar home, albeit in an expensive real estate market, and being a pastor of a multi-campus megachurch. David Platt's most famous teaching is an emotional manipulation that, if heeded, is unsustainable. And we need to do missions in a way that is sustainable long-term, not we give all our money so that 26,000 people can eat for one day. That's not sustainable. That's not how we should be doing missions, but that is how the evangelical church has been taught to do missions by and large because of the influence by this book, by David Platt, one of the worst teachers. He is such a bad false teacher. Like, he doesn't even sound convincing. He sounds like he's trying to poop, cry, or take a... Well, I already said to poop. But that's what he sounds like to me. It's very manipulative. It's not a natural way of speaking. And when someone talks like that, I can't take him seriously already. But so many people in Big Eva, because they're liberal, promoted him because they take that type of thing seriously. And they take hyper-emotionalism seriously because that's, you know, what liberals do. So those are my thoughts on this. David Platt is very anti-Ordo Amoris, and it's very well communicated in Radical, where you're supposed to love the foreigner who's never heard the gospel the most, even at the expense of your children, your children's children, your country's church, and stuff like that. It is an inverted order of loves, and the heat map goes the opposite direction. So that's all I got to say about this for now. My name is Ray, it's the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this content, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast. If you're new, that's how you can best help with those magical algorithms. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.